Do you love Australian movies? Many of us do, but we frequently hear criticism of the Australian screen industry, that it's lost its way and not delivering on its promise. Well, Graham Mason, the chief executive of Screen Australia, argues that a major problem with the Australian screen industry is not what it produces, but that it undersells its achievements as a tourism, trade and diplomacy tool globally. Earlier this year, the Federal Commission of Audit recommended Screen Australia's budget be halved and the office merged with the Australia Council. But Graham Mason insists that Screen Australia's core business will remain to assist the creation of quality Australian content, be it for our cinema screens, smart TVs or mobiles. Here he is speaking at a recent Currency House breakfast in Sydney.
I'm very concerned and confused that from offshore, I'd always thought, my goodness, Australia just does so well at screen content. Everyone there must be so excited and thrilled by what's achieved. And then I got here and I thought, this is so weird. The whole rest of the world thinks it is amazing what comes out of here, and somehow no one here seems to recognise it or no one gives us credit. So that sort of started my thought process for today. So bear with me as I pontificate. Because, you know, today I bring good news. It is a great time for Australian film and television. As we sit here this morning, business is actually booming. Audiences are watching, careers and businesses are developing, and the future is bright and full of enormous potential. If, however, you were to take your lead from what is reported or said about us and our sector, you'd think the sky is falling, the world is ending, and we are wasting our time and efforts. Furthermore, and perhaps most importantly, many of these commentators on us publicly state and advocate that we are wasting cash, which at this current moment is meant to be something we should all be terrified of. It is my suggestion that this view is able to flourish because our sector is something of a paradox, and it's somewhat of an orphan, falling between camps. Many participants or interested parties in the arts see the screen sector and its content as largely the dirty commercial end of the cultural endeavours, if they class us as cultural at all. And no offence to any of you in the room who are, I know you're going to be on our side. But on the other hand, many in the business sector, and at least certain parts of our broader commentators on us, see us as fluffy creatives, giving no recognition to the fact that each production is like a start-up business, consistently raising cash, hiring staff, often very many staff, highly trained and skilled professionals. They successfully create product, taking it out to market here and abroad. This, I believe, often leaves us without credit from either end of the spectrum, rather than I would suggest we should be getting plaudits and credit from both ends. There is no doubt about it. Australia's screen industry is doing great things. The successes of this industry, I would suggest, raise the profile of Australia on the world stage like no other form of creative expression, certainly more than sport, and more than any other industry. There is also a very big difference between the screen sector and many of the arts practices, and again, no offence to those in the room, but our sector actually makes money and generates loads of it. I just come off the back of the film market in Cannes, where we saw enormous excitement and goodwill for Australian talent. Additionally, there was incredible excitement about the three Australian features showing their unofficial selection, The Rover, These Final Hours and Charlie's Country. The latter was singled out for David Golpilil's performance, which saw him receive an award for Best Actor. Add to this, one of the hottest and most anticipated projects in Cannes was Justin Cazell's retelling of Macbeth. This project, which has no Australian money, nothing to do with Australia, was given to Justin to do on the back of his low-budget Australian film Snowtown. That's culture, career and industry development, plus promotion of our sector and country, all in one go. Still in Cannes, the press were clamouring for, in a row, Nicole Kidman, Cate Blanchett and Russell Crowe. The profile, attention, promotion and free advertising benefit these icons give to our country is beyond any other sector, and simply put, is something Australian tourism or trade organisations would kill for. Something I, again, don't think we are given nearly enough credit for across the country. Here at home, it remains true that the best way to get high-impact eyeballs if you want to message or promote something remains to do it on free-air TV. Australian-made programs at the moment on free-to-air rule the roost and largely define the broadcaster's image. I will touch on it again. The range of TV output at the moment and the quality of it is staggering. At the recent Monte Carlo TV Awards, you had Top of the Lake and Wentworth, two absolutely different shows, vying for the top honours. I mean, that's an extraordinary moment. On a slightly more different and sobering note, the federal budget has had an impact on Screen Australia's direct funding, whilst not the offset. I have sat down with our board and we're working through how we are going to absorb and manage those cuts. One thing I will, however, publicly reiterate to you now is that Screen Australia's core business is and will remain to assist making quality Australian content, having it brought to your screens, whether they be on smart TVs, in cinema, on mobiles, or new technologies yet to come. It is our intent to limit the impact of our funding challenges on our on-screen support. It is an evolving ecosystem that we all belong to, and we need to continue to adapt. It is inspiring, however, that I see the individuals and businesses in our sector rising to those challenges. Speaking of challenges, they are significant and plentiful. It is more difficult than ever to raise the finance for production. There is, for one thing, as we've noted, less direct government funding available in all jurisdictions, both here and abroad. The commercial money available here at home is spread thinner and is harder to find. But costs are rising. Producers are therefore increasingly looking overseas for investment, working in a very complex environment with a shrinking market for independent production. Just as, if even not more importantly, viewer behaviour is changing, reflecting the individual's desire to watch what they want, when they want, on the screen they want. Really problematically, it does appear there is a new generation who seem to be disinclined to pay for it. Piracy is, pretty accurately, blamed for a reduction in revenue and creates real problems all the way along the value chain. Also, this proliferation of content creators and providers, the legal ones, is wonderful for viewer choice. It is, however, creating real issues for funding the ever-increasing costs of production and marketing, as there's often no single distributor getting the benefit of all those viewers and income derived from them to pass back into investment into the production. Despite all these issues, production in Australia hasn't dropped. Producers and distributors are taking steps to deliver content to audiences in new and innovative ways. The producer offset, which we manage for Treasury, so there's again culture versus commerce, alongside the location and the post-visual and digital effects offsets, have been invaluable incentives for production. Our research indicates that in the 6 years since the offsets were introduced, average annual production expenditure has increased significantly. For feature films, by some 82.5%, television drama by 46%, and documentaries by 81%, despite decreased funding from us. There has been over $1 billion provided through the offsets. I must also note, of course, this is a rebate. The money has to be spent, incurred, and audited before it goes back. So this is income coming in that otherwise would not exist. Offsets are, however, purely financial triggers. That rebate on dollars spent does not target areas of market failure, cultural quality and innovative content. That's the other side of our reason for existing. And so that's where Screen Australia really comes in. Although our funding makes up only 10% on average of total budgets, direct Screen Australia funding underpins around 50% of production across film, TV drama, kids, and documentary. We ensure that these programs have cultural value and an enduring legacy for Australian identity. Our funding, of course, has always been finite, and we can't fund everything we wish to. A good funding decision, in our view, sees an excellent film, TV, or multimedia project being made, standout talent, be they in front of or behind the camera, being recognised. And this leads to more projects getting off the ground. It's a cycle. Some projects may make less return on investment, but they have a strong creative vision and deliver unbelievable cultural benefit. It isn't one size fits all. Screen Australia always will and needs to continue to be able to step in to assist these high quality, culturally significant or career defining projects as they go ahead. I mean, I was terrified recently to read a comment that we should only make things of historical importance. That is really worrying if that kind of thing can be flagged out there. if we're not going to make Animal Kingdom or Red for Now or make a film about drag queens going across the desert, which turns into a cultural icon, something is wrong. I said previously, the screen industry straddles two worlds. On one hand, we belong to the arts. So much of what we do is part of our nation's creative expression and cultural identity. Our social histories, our past lives, our humour, our idiosyncrasies, our stories are brought to life on the screen. This is primarily why the government, certainly our ministry, through Screen Australia, does support and should support the screen sector. Screen content is a vital component of the cultural industries. Screen stories are as much a part of our artistic makeup as the visual artists, writers, musicians, and thespians. In fact, screen content draws on all of them and brings them together. The aim of this entire endeavour, from scripting to art direction, from composition to the catering trucks, is to reach an audience, to move them emotionally and to communicate an idea. If any of the creative elements aren't working together or working well, then that moment of magic can be lost. We need a thriving industry with big ambitions to keep honing these craft skills and giving our talent the greatest possible canvas and palette to work with. As I mentioned, but something I want to repeat, there is also a big difference in the screen sector and our poor image across some parts of the community. Our sector is big business. The screen industry contributes $6.1 billion to the economy. That's direct, because I think the creative arts is valued at maybe 10 or 15 times that. Some countries like the UK recognise the value of the creative sector and how it defines their country, and I would strongly argue we should do the same. We employ at least 41,000 people directly, and when we come to town to film, the spillover benefits are monumental. Something, again, which I think very few people give us full credit for. Most things that are made have a cultural imperative, but they also, people make the film and TV projects with an eye to a commercial return. Producers, contrary to what many people think, are incredibly agile business people. They manage a project from the beginning, the chrysalis of an idea, through financing, unbelievably complicated, more complicated than building a dam, to then making the production on time, on budget, in multiple locations, with a total cast and crew which can reach up to 2,000 people on a big production. They then move on to advertising and distribution over many years. Putting that in perspective, on average it takes at least 3 years and 8 drafts to develop a project to a point before the shooting even begins. It's then another 12, 18 months at least before it hits a screen of any description. And some, like Priscilla I mentioned before, are still being actively managed by Stefan and Rebel, the director and producer, 20 years on. As I said, the business community in other parts of town still see us, though, as fluffy creatives, too caught up in the making of art to be commercially savvy, let alone business-focused. We do need to better present ourselves to this end of town and clearly show the business acumen our sector has and the benefits and upsides that are possible. I am here today to tell you that our sector are both things. We are artists and entrepreneurs, and that one does not exclude the other. Our role is to help bridge that apparent divide and support the best Australian screen artists bring their stories into the world, but also develop their businesses. Our storytelling here in Australia is unique, and it is our job to ensure that the most creative, innovative, diverse and high-quality content makes its way to the screens so that audiences, including yourselves, can share it. This involves supporting projects through their entire life cycle. We provide development support for producers that may require assistance to build their ideas so they become market-ready. We provide production investment. We manage the offsets. We provide distribution and marketing advice and support. We assist in the promotion and management of product now and into the future. Our support of screen events, such as film festivals, workshops and masterclasses, help foster a shared screen culture for Australia. Our incredibly successful enterprise program provides business development support for individual screen businesses to build their capacities, whether through industry placements, innovative initiatives or operational support. This program has fundamentally changed most of those companies supported thus far, transforming them to much higher levels of sustainability, and most of them, or many of them, have attracted fresh capital investment from outside our country. I'm telling you about all these different programs, by the way, because I want to show that Screen Australia spends its money across a vast range of activities. You know, there's not just one thing that goes out our door. Again, deliberately repeating myself to get our message home, Australian screen content is highly effective, if not the most highly effective, promotional tool offshore of Australian skills, talent, culture and values. Our Kate, our Nicole, surnames are not necessary here, have done wonders in drawing attention to Australia. We are building links across the world, promoting our capabilities through our screen stories. As Ms. Blanchett said recently on one of her many international red carpet interviews as she won a multitude of awards, our sector is an amazing soft diplomacy tool. I would also digress, Kate getting up on stage in front of 1 billion people at the Oscars and talking about this city and our arts and our sector and our capabilities is something no one else in Australia could afford to buy that advertising. It is phenomenal, the benefit that our sector ultimately gives back to this country. Our co-production programs encourage collaboration and partnerships, enabling Australian producers to learn from their international counterparts and vice versa, and bringing in international finance. We are increasingly used by DFAT and others to assist greater trade and diplomatic goals. Our working relationships are not just with English-speaking countries like the UK, but also amongst our many treaty partners, also China, Singapore, Germany and France. We are currently reviewing these co-production guidelines to encourage more production, greater reach of our stories and talent, but also how can we assist more to Australia Inc. and its goals. It makes me think a lot about our global ambitions and the local dividends of them, and the state of the sector today, and its success in the domestic and international arena. The Australian screen industry is really, really punching above its weight and being feted on the world stage, and just deserves much greater recognition at home. We've had a great year at Cannes, as I mentioned. Also at Sundance in Berlin, first-time director Sophie Hyde from a small collective in Adelaide of a group of filmmakers and TV makers getting together. Made a feature called 52 Tuesdays. She won the International Director Prize at the two big top-of-the-year festivals. Jennifer Kent, another young woman from Adelaide, resounding success at Sundance with her feature film The Babadook. People like Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson have flown her in for meetings about what she's going to do now. All the Hollywood studios are sending her scripts. Cate Blanchett wins the Best Actress at Oscar, as long as many other things, just one of many Australian actors enjoying a prominent role. Australian crews, excellent reputation for quality and hard work, reaffirmed recently by studio executives after shooting Angelina Jolie's recent biopic Unbroken here in Sydney and in Queensland. Catherine Martin and Beverly Dunn winning Oscars for costume and production design on The Great Gatsby. Australian post-production and visual effects companies are leading the world, seen through Animalogic's work on Lego. I don't think people realise that was made here. The entire thing was shot here. It's extraordinary. Rising Sun Pictures doing the work on Gravity. This is talent and new technology at play. We're not giving enough credit to those people for what they're doing. That extraordinary talent is equally present in the world of television. Australian formats and shows have sold incredibly well offshore. Secrets and Lies, Hoodlum's interactive TV show they made for Channel 10, was bought by the ABC network in the US and production is underway on a remake. Fremantle Media's prison drama Wentworth, broadcast on Foxtel, is a massive hit in the UK and is currently being remade in Germany and the Netherlands. A US version of Essential Media's ABC show Rake is commissioned by Fox and has already been shown on US television. And then high-end drama Top of the Lake has sold out in the entire world and won every award there is. Audiences here at home are going crazy for Australian content full stop and drama in particular. A fact which I think is again not talked about enough, in 2013, 92 of the 100 most watched shows on television in Australia were Australian. It's not US imports, they're Australian shows that people are watching. Love Child, a drama on Network 9, just finished its 10-week run with an average of 2.1 million viewers per episode with broadcast and online combined. On a Sunday night in February, lost amidst the negativity story about two Australian dramas competing against themselves, In Excess and Chappelle, was the fact that In Excess, Chappelle and Rake were the three dramas on air at the same moment and had over 5 million Australians watching them live. Forget catch-up, forget everything else, live. And on 10, you know what we're screening? Another Australian show. We continue to see this love of new stories with innovative multi-platform projects such as 7 Days Later, which just won the International Digital Emmy this year. This win reinforced the strength of Australian success in this evolving new platform. 7 Days Later is the fourth project in 5 years that an Australian company has been involved in winning the International Emmy. The buzz around directors David Michaud and Justin Cazale has seen them being swamped by scripts since their breakout films we supported, Animal Kingdom and Snowtown. Cinematographer Adam Arkapoor worked with David Michaud on Animal Kingdom, then on to Top of the Lake, and is now behind True Detective, one of the smash US TV series. The founder of Tropfest and a Sydney institution, I know it goes broader than that now, but John Paulson, is directing and the EP on Elementary, the massive hit show at the moment with John Lee Miller and Lucy Liu. Whilst he still is coming backwards and forwards doing Tropfest, promoting Australian talent coming up. These are just a few examples of many and demonstrates how Australian talent, when given a springboard to gain international exposure, can succeed for themselves, Britain, but also our sector and the country as a whole. It is testament to the strength of the Australian screen sector that we have seen high-profile Australian practitioners return to take a role in Australian productions. Screen Australia and our predecessor agencies supported the early projects of many of these people that got them started, leading to big international careers. But most of them continue to return to Australia, playing active roles in our sector, promoting it, helping it, and thereby Australia as a whole. For example, Nicole Kidman plays the lead in Strangeland, a little film currently in post-production, having only last the year before also been in our co-production The Railway Man. Russell Crowe has just been here and completed directing and starring in The Water Diviner. Acclaimed director of photography John Searle, known for his work on the Harry Potters, has just done Fury Road. Rachel Griffiths, for years a big actress in US TV drama, due largely to the success in Muriel's Wedding, is now appearing here on House Husbands on Channel 9. There is a lot to be proud of, and I think the disparate parts of the Australian sector and our observers and commentators need to come together and recognise the sector is in good shape and booming, the sky isn't falling, and we're doing a lot of great work. Yes, we're a small population, and we'll never achieve the astronomical box office returns you hear about out of the US. Yes, it's always going to be difficult to finance production, as film, TV drama, documentaries and online content are inherently risky business for investors. Yes, they're challenging time for production companies that have built their business model around traditional distribution mechanisms, all of which are changing. But we're working together with a common aim of creating great content that resonates with audiences across Australia and internationally, and we do it really well. What comes next? Screen Australia will continue to support the Australian screen industry by enabling the most opportunities for the talented individuals and businesses active in the sector. Screen Australia will not stray from its cultural remit to support a diverse, innovative and creative slate of high-quality content and will continue to seek the greatest possible audience for Australian stories and the greatest possible return for rights holders in a commercial environment. Screen content is an art form that can and does succeed in both the heartstrings and the back pocket. We want our film and television makers to test the boundaries of storytelling, making audiences laugh, cry, wince with empathy, gasp in amazement, and think in new ways about the world around them. We want to ensure that Australian stories continue to shift, inform and inspire conversations in cinema queues and lounge rooms from Leichhardt to London, Sylvania Waters to Shanghai. Screen content generates discussion, be it over the water cooler, through tweets or mashups. Audiences invest themselves emotionally in stories, lamenting the loss of beloved characters or feeling uplifted by inspirational personas. Powerful stories provide us with common points of reference from which to connect with each other about moving, challenging, or difficult issues. The strength of the story and the craft that brings it to life enable the viewer to participate in global conversations. Screen Australia will continue to develop those stories and back those storytellers, particularly to cover the gap where market support stops or is nervous to come in. We'll work to broaden audiences' understanding of Australian drama and documentary as being the products of Australian creative vision. Our immediate eye is on feeding the appetite of domestic viewers, but with the knowledge that engaging content speaks to global audiences and a great story has universal reach. We will continue to nurture the producers, directors, writers and actors to ensure ongoing generational renewal and reinvention in the Australian screen industries. When all the cogs and wheels of development, financing, production, completion, post-production, distribution, marketing, exhibition, broadcast, download, that's what the producers do, have taken place, the aim is the same: to connect with an audience. When that happens, the dividends, cultural and commercial, are immeasurable. Screen Australia will continue to support agile screen businesses to back the talent of our creatives in their creation of these stories that can outlast us all and help shape our cultural consciousness. Making screen stories is an art. It's a business. We're doing really well at both.
The CEO of Screen Australia, Graham Mason, arguing that the success of the Australian screen industry raises the profile of Australia on the world stage like no other form of creative expression, sport or industry. I'm Anthony Fennell. Cheers and bye for now.